intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
Welcome to the PC Invasion podcast. As will become quite abundantly clear, this is going to be a Star Citizen special. I'm Peter Parrish. I'm joined by Paul Junger, as usual. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Also joined by independent game developer, designer, creator of Battlecruiser 3000 AD and the Universal Combat series, Derek Smart. Hi, Derek.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing, guys?
Very good, thank you, and thank you very much for coming on to the show. It's appreciated when we get guests. So, as I've said, this is going to be a Star Citizen-focused episode. Obviously, you've if we go back to Monday, Derek, you wrote a blog post called Interstellar Citizens, in which you... I'm going to say that the crux of it, effectively, was that your opinion is that Star Citizen, as it is currently envisaged as this sort of $85 million behemoth, basically can't really be made. I wonder if you could sort of expand on that and talk a little bit about why you think that would be.
Well, I thought about this for quite a while, so I'm going to try and not be too technical, and you guys can interrupt me anytime you feel like it, because I tend to get long-winded when I'm excited.
That's fine.
Yeah, just fair warning. I speak like I write, so it flows. Well, I'm going to keep it very, very short. Because there's no point in repeating everything I've written in that blog post.
Sure.
The reason I say it can't be made as pitched is simply because they exponentially increased the scope. You see, when it was just... you know, a smaller scope game that was pitched back in 2012. Mm. And everybody thought, you know, we were getting, you know, the freelancers / privateer / wing commander type game, which, as you know, is sorely lacking. We were all excited. And that kind of game, which is just really, it doesn't have a huge, massive, you know, world. And even if you think about it, Freelancer had a larger world than Starlancer, and those games, you know, they ran, they worked, they were fine. Mm-hmm. So I envisioned them doing what I did with my newer games, whereby the more the industry moved forward and the attention span of most gamers declined, the smaller the games became, which is the whole mobile mentality thing. I mean, not to say there aren't any larger, you know, very engaging and intricate games out there. They are. Mm. But the space sim genre has, as you guys know, it has suffered over the years because the publishers realize that there's no money in it. And when there's no money to be made from a large audience, no publisher wants to touch it. Mm. And all the smaller games came from all the smaller outfits, the niche outfits like myself, you know, the X guys and one or two guys here and there online. No big names came around because, you know, publishers have no interest in that. Anyway, so I was very excited and I thought, okay, right. So CryEngine is a super engine when it comes to graphics, you know, visual fidelity. If they make a game like this, tell you what, even if they had taken, even though I know they couldn't because Microsoft owns the rights, even if they had taken Freelancer and just did a 1-to-1 remake, they would have had that game out in under 2 years, guaranteed. Now, the thing is, they opted not to do that because, hey, what's the fun in making a game for 2 years and it all comes to a crashing halt and there's no more money, there's nothing more to sell, and we're not making an MMO. So, oh, I know, let's come up with a whole different business model. That's what scared me. Because I envisioned this game, like the smaller, more focused game, that Chris had all the money, he could do all the control, all the power, he could do it the way he wanted it, because he was a bit stifled after the whole, you know, EA or slash Origin thing, you know. And I'm a big fan of the guy, I'm going to be honest, I've always said that, you know. It's nothing personal, but knowing that, I mean, I was on the ground floor of the whole freelancer slash, you know, Microsoft debacle. I mean, I'm an industry vet. I know where all the skeletons are buried. I was a little bit worried, you know, that, you know, that it might not happen. But I figured, you know, with a lot of people, and after 20 years, we all learn something, that coming back to this, he would have learned, you know, how to scale things back, do things in the bite-sized chunks, blah, blah, blah. And to be honest, that's what he did. So for me, that was it. And I thought, okay, I back this on day one. In 2 years, I'm going to have a game. It's going to be fun. You know, David's doing his Elite Dangerous. God bless his heart. And I was thinking, for all the selfish reasons, that the two industry power, I mean, nobody gives a shit to my games. A lot of people buy my games. I've gotten very rich from my games. I'm comfortable. I've never really wanted to go out there and have 15 users when I'm happy with the five that I've got. I'm a very content kind of guy. So I thought, okay, if these two bigwigs from the old boys club are back and they're going to deliver and invigorate the genre, all of a sudden I'm thinking, yeah, I'm back, baby, you know? And I thought, great, this is beautiful, this is great. Space Games are back, they're gonna make all this money, all these publishers are gonna eat crow, and they're gonna think, hey, you know what? Because, you know, it's a never-ending story. As soon as some genre takes off, somebody's going to copy it. So this was my vision. I really thought, I really, really danced, really, when I saw that. And I thought, okay, great. And you know what? They both announced it within months of each other, if you can imagine that happening. I mean, that was like lightning striking twice when you think about it, you know? So that's how excited I was. And then I forgot about it because, let's put it this way, and somebody asked me on Twitter today, why haven't you said something in the past 2 years? And I thought, hang on, what do you mean? I'm a game developer. If somebody tells me I'm going to ship a game that looks like this in 2 years, after I stop laughing, right, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, benefit of the doubt. So as a software developer, I'm thinking, okay, 2 years, 2.5 years, yeah, maybe tops 3 years, okay? There's always that delay, there's always that risk of that happening.
Sure, yeah.
So I never said anything. I just let it coast. But what started happening, and it's been a progression of things, and the sad reality is everyone saw this. And the people who are out there writing all these articles about all this money and all this groundbreaking and Guinness Book of Records and, you know, they're doing this, that, and the other. Nobody stopped to think and say, oi, hang on, what happened to the game from 2012? Nobody.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good comparison with Elite Dangerous in, you know, just there, and also in the piece that you wrote, where, you know, they asked for $1.5 million or $2 million or something like that, and basically got that, maybe a little more, and then the game, you know, came out in 2-3 years, and that was slightly delayed, and effectively was what they said it was going to be. It was an updated version of Elite, and though it was lacking a little bit in what you could do to begin with, they are addressing that, and it was similar, still similar to Elite. You could do similar things, you know, mining and trading and all of that. So but go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, with Star Citizen, what do you think came first? Do you think it was that the people were willing to funnel so much money into it that they felt that they had to keep expanding? Or do you think that they were actively driving that, you know, sort of, what do you think is the thing that was pushing this feature creep, if you like?
I think from my perspective, and bearing in mind, I don't know all the internal details. I know some, not all. It looks like from all accounts, if you look at, I mean, I spent hours and hours going through all the dev videos, all the dev reports, all the logs, I mean, every single thing. I mean, I'm a very thorough guy. It comes out in my games. It comes out in my writings. I do not cut corners. So when I tell you I did extensive research before I wrote that piece, yep. That's exactly what I did. I didn't just get up and just write 140 characters. I thought long and hard, and I have substantial evidence to back up everything I've said, and I know that I'm 100% right. What happened was this. They got to a part where it had nothing to do with not being able to make the 2012 version of the game. It's got nothing to do with that. They could have done that with CryEngine as is. That's a fact. Okay?
Yeah.
What happened was, I think somebody or team, one person, I don't know who, I'm not pointing the fingers, the way things progressed, I think what happened was somebody figured out that by the time we ship this game, we're done. Because that's how the industry is. And the only way you're going to make money and continue making money is if you build a franchise. But that's a very, very risky game these days. New franchises are very hard to build. They take years to build. And they were, I believe they were looking at it from the perspective that I looked at it, whereby there's no fun in doing a new game every 3-4 years. So after 2 years, this first game is done. Now what? So they already had the plan to do different modules to progress the game somehow. Not using the MMO model, but using a modular model where you get bits and pieces and bits and pieces and you add them all together. Here's a problem. They started selling stuff that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Even after getting the funding and not making the game. Listen, I'm a pretty reasonable guy. If they had delivered, you know, done the same thing David did with Elite and shipped something playable, not that crap that's Arena Commander. We're not even going to talk about that. If they had shipped something that even looked like the vision of what they pitched, we would not be having this conversation. In fact, listen to me. The vision for Squadron 42, they could have made that game within 2 years without all this crap with the hangar, without all this crap with Arena Commander. They could have just done that with Crisis Engine right there, shipped that, earned some good faith, right? Mm. Then say, hey guys, we told you we're gonna do this. You gave us 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 20 million, whatever the hell the amount was at the time. We're gonna do this next. Can we have some more money, please? That's how you do it. Why do you think those guys on Kickstarter, you know, Brian Fogg and his guys, keep getting money? It's based on good faith. Do you know what I mean?
Sorry, Derek, you know, just mention, one of the things that has really set the alarm bells ringing has obviously been the stalling of the so-called FPS module. And, you know, there has been FPS elements mentioned in the early pitches with regards to boarding parties and so on. Do you think that the announcement of a full-blown FPS was purely a way to get at a different audience, people that may not necessarily be interested in the space combat side of things, in which case they could basically release almost like a separate standalone game, if you see what I mean?
I don't believe that. I'm sorry, Paul, carry on.
So, I mean, it's because that kind of scope is completely, totally expanded out from the original concept. And it kind of went, first of all, from boarding parties, then it went down to planetary combat, and then suddenly you have a full FPS game. So, I mean, my thoughts on it is, well, maybe that was something that they thought, well, if we do this, then we can actually sell more copies because we can get at that different audience.
I think it's a blend of that and the fact that Chris always wanted to have this huge vision where you could do everything. And remember, the engine they chose is primarily an FPS engine.
Yep.
You know, let's think about this for a minute. No matter how many space combat fans you've got, I can tell you right now, there's no way in hell Chris would have gotten almost 1 million people to give him money to make a space combat game.
No. No, I mean, I agree. I mean, I'm
double chest.
Well, like you, I'm a backer, and obviously I backed this originally, one, because I loved Star Lancer. I thought the guys at Warthog did a great job in it. And they kind of, I always thought it was odd. I mean, I went down to the Manchester studio when that was being made to meet the guy, the team who were working on that. And I always thought when that was released, it was always a bit odd. It was never really pushed as a Warthog game. I really enjoyed that. So for me, if they'd released, as you say, Squadron 42 and pushed that out and actually given people a taste of the game universe and what was to come, I think a lot of people would be a lot happier than they currently are at the moment. And I think pushing the FPS module ahead of the Squadron 42 module for a release, that mystifies me.
Yeah, this is the thing. You see, what always puzzled me about that FPS module, to be perfectly honest, it wasn't even on my radar. And that's the God's honest truth.
Yeah, same here. I couldn't care if it was there or not.
Right. I never really looked at it as being part of the focus, because when you look through the forums and, you know, all the reports and all the chatter, nobody's sitting out there, you know, screaming about, hey, I'm going to have an FPS module. I mean, everyone's playing Call of Duty, for Christ's sakes. What they're screaming about is all the cohesive nature of the entire vision, you know? You know, the little things, you know, I can have boarding parties, I can walk around in my ship. Oh, here's the hangar. If they can make the ship, if I can move around my own ship like I can this hangar, wow, that's cool, you know, and things like that. So the FPS module really for me was just something, and maybe it's because I developed those kind of games, I don't know. For me, it was just something, something like, I don't know, adding a new a new weapon system on a battle cruiser or something like that, you know, just something as an add-on, because it's not the main focus of the game. That was not the focus of the game that was pitched. People have forgotten this. It simply wasn't. So, you know, and the thing about it is that I was saying earlier is using the Crysis engine, CryEngine is primarily an FPS engine. So they had everything there to make an FPS. But here's the thing. From an engineering standpoint, okay, if you're making a module, like an FPS module, to add to something like a flight, or you add something like a flight dynamics or vehicle dynamics, let's put it this way. There's a big difference between doing an FPS module of Call of Duty caliber and doing a vehicle engine in the caliber of something like CSR. That's just insane, because you're talking about taking genres of full games, full-blown games, high and huge fidelity, huge processing requirements, lumping them all into one game. So what they've ended up with really is not like my game or some other game that has, you know, FPS as, you know, another feature that you don't really spend too much time with it because it's not a first-person perspective game. Instead, the vision is we're going to make an entirely, you know, balls to the wall, you know, a FPS game, and we're going to stick it in here. That should have been the very first red flag, which is why when I said they're not going to do that, and I started hearing about all the stuff that was going on there, you know, over there, people coming and leaving and whatnot, and then I saw the announcement, something just went off in my head, and I just said, you know what? I knew it. Let me touch on something quickly you asked me earlier. I apologize. I didn't address why I said it and why I said it can't be done. It's precisely what, based on what I just said, it's very easy to take an FPS module, a space flight module, planetary flight module, vehicle module, weapons, items, blah, 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 all the things I added in, you know, in my article, right? It's easy to take all those things. We, in programming speak, we call them pared down to the basic functionality, so it works within the scope of the game, because the game is a much larger vision. Okay, but when you get down to the fidelity and the requirements of something like taking Call of Duty, CSR, one of those high fidelity, you know, aero combat games, you know, pick one, anything from Digital Research will do, you know, and you're going to blend all those into one game. I mean, who on earth, which producer sits down and thinks, this is really a good idea? It's technologically impossible with current day machines. It will never run. That's just a fact.
Yeah, I mean, something you said earlier about Chris Roberts being someone who has, like, a, you know, a grand vision. I mean, I've always thought that from the very first pitch of Star Citizen, where it was very much focused towards, you know, this is going to be a PC-only thing. It's going to be at the sort of cutting edge of technology whenever that release date comes. It's going to be ahead of that kind of thing. But it's, and I think that's been driving some of the interest in the game, you know, because a lot of PC gamers are obviously very into that. They like the sound of using their machine to the max, etc. But do you feel that's just kind of got away from him, though? I mean, to the extent that now it's, he can't even reach what he's hoping to aim for.
Well, to be honest, again, no disrespect to Chris, it boils down to ambition. There's nothing wrong with ambition. Okay,
sure.
I've been there. I've done that. I've fallen prey to the same thing. Okay, which is why 20 years later, I'm righteously pissed that somebody from back in the day comes back and makes the same mistakes. That's my concern. I'm not judging. Don't get me wrong. I'm taking this from face value. And when you think about it, if they've put it on hold, right, for the indefinite future, that pretty much means it doesn't work within the current framework. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's a fact. Okay? Now, Arena Commander, there's a whole bunch of people who complain day in and day out about it. It's not as envisioned. In fact, that's not the game that was pitched. It's a fact. Okay? That's the second thing. Thirdly, let me ask you this. In June, this was another thing, reason that I wrote the article. In June, when I saw the Frankfurt office's dev report, I was astonished. Okay? And that's God's honest truth. I was completely astonished. I mean, I live for this stuff. So, you know, I read this thing, you know, and I was reading it on my iPad. I actually got off the couch, went to my computer, so I have a larger screen monitor, so I didn't have to pinch and zoom and all this crap. And I read it, and I thought, oh, my God, how is it 3 years in, now they have a 64-bit problem with the engine?
Mm.
This is the kind of thing, this is rudimentary stuff. It's not rocket science. If you're going to build a large world, you have to know your numbers. That's really the bottom line. This is like taking an aircraft pilot and giving him a helicopter.
Yeah, I mean,
that's pretty much what it is.
They seem to keep, I think they seem to keep rewriting the netcode. You know, I've seen sort of two or three dev posts where they say, oh, well, we're going to have to start again to do this because it has to integrate with the first-person module or whatever, or it has to integrate with this other thing. And I guess that's going to keep being a problem, you know, if they keep trying to add all these extra things. Like, oh, we've got to rewrite all of this, and then we've got to, you know, but that's not a very tenable situation, it seems to me.
No, it's not, which is the reason why I said, and I painstakingly explained this. I had another podcast and I told them the same thing, that, you know, the game as pitched now cannot be made. I'm going to repeat that. It simply cannot be made. They can sue me. They can do anything they want. I don't really care. It's my expert opinion of this game as pitched cannot be made. It's really that simple. Now, this podcast is going to, you know, prevail. It's going to be out there. They're going to share it. They're going to refer to it. I stand by everything I've said because I know this to be true. This is what I believe. I do not believe that this game as pitched, as designed, from everything they've written, everything they said, I don't believe it can be made. And if they make it, it would not be within the next 5 to 6 years.
Do you think a lot of the, obviously since your blog post went up, there's a lot of people going, oh, it's just Derek Smart, don't listen to him. He's never released anything of any quality, or his games are always broken. And do you think that's why some of the more diehard fans are just not taking this seriously and just wanting to ignore the situation as it is?
No, you know, I've thought about that. Somebody else asked me the same thing. To be honest with you, I don't pay attention to that stuff because, you know, I'm an old school gamer. You know, I've seen, you know, both sides of dissent. I'm not new to online discourse. I don't pay attention to that because, listen, these are gamers. You know, as long as you're not an antisocial misfit, you know, I will encourage anything you have to say. I will encourage and support everything you think. The bottom line is this. There are some people who cannot be convinced of anything. Trying to do that is a waste of time. This has nothing to do with me. This has everything to do with denial. People are in denial because, you know, Chris is like, I don't know, I'm just going to say it, quote unquote, this godlike figure, okay?
Bear in mind,
most of these people don't even know who he is. Let's not even forget that, because most of them weren't even, they're probably in diapers when he was.
Actually, you just raised a point there, actually, Derek. One of the things that I've noticed is a lot of people don't know who you are. Because they're not old farts like us.
Hey now.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
That itself has also caused some confusion where younger gamers who may have backed this and may not have been around all this time, they don't know what your background is. And so they just immediately dismiss it because obviously people just think you're trying to troll the situation. Oh, I hate that word, but that's.
I know. No, it's right. And you know what it is? The reason why I don't address those things, even on Reddit or anywhere, is because I understand where they're coming from. Okay, you know, it's one of those things where I've come to grips with the fact that not a lot of people don't like me. But the fact of the matter is, for as long as I've been around, if that bothered me, I would not be here doing this. It comes with the territory. I believe that. Good, bad, or ugly, I've earned the right to say what I feel, as long as it's respectful, and I know what I'm talking about. I'm just a gamer. So if somebody says, hey, it's just Derek Smart, don't pay attention to him, you know what? To be honest with you, that makes me smile. Because when I hear that, and knowing what I know, even though I'm not going to go back and say, oh, I told you so, if you check all my social media feeds, Twitter, Facebook, it's littered with all kinds of things that I said, this will happen, boom, it happens. No matter how long it takes. Because when I'm a programmer, I'm an AI programmer. When I think about things, I think about things from all different perspectives. So when people go online and say, oh, he's Derek Smart, don't pay attention to him, that stuff doesn't bother me. Because I know for one person who thinks that, there are 10 who, whether they say anything or not, know otherwise. It's just like reviews or like game reviews. You have 1 million people and only 500 bother to, you know, 500 bother to do a review. That's really how it works.
To be fair, also, I think I have seen some comments from people say, my God, I actually agree with Derek Smart on this issue. Yep. First time I've agreed with him on anything.
Yep. I've seen those. Those are always nice. But the fact of the matter is, the reason for that is, I'm just going to say it, it's not really about winning people over. I mean, let's face it, I've never been about that. You know, there's no middle ground. You either like me or you hate me. I don't really care either way because it allows me to be who I am without putting on airs or trying to be somebody because I want to appeal to a bunch of people. So if I see somebody saying, hey, you know what? As much as I disagree, he might have something here. What that tells me is very simple. It's not about winning them over. It's about the fact that I made them think about it.
Mm.
You know, as long as you give people something to think about, which was the purpose of this article, trust me, no matter how dumb they are, no matter what cult they're part of, there's always something in people called common sense. And let me put it the other way. As I told one of the attorneys I was talking to yesterday, the other thing about it is this. Nobody wants to be on the wrong side of me when I'm right, because I will make a lot of noise about it. So even though they're seeing this and thinking this is just Derek Smart, and they're thinking in the back of their head, you know what? Wait, hang on a minute. Hang on. He might have something here. Nobody wants to be sitting 8 months down the road and reading my Twitter feed. Hey, guys, I told you so. Not what comes next. That's what most of these people who never liked me to begin with, that's what they're hedging their bets against, that there's this off chance I might be right because all the signs are there. You just can't ignore them.
Yeah, let's go back and touch on the sort of denial aspect, because I mean, this is something that we've mentioned before on our podcast. We talk about Star Citizen quite a lot, and we have a fairly cynical attitude towards it, I think. You know, a lot of the forum posts and stuff from supporters, you know, they talk about like belief and faith, and it is a bit kind of evangelical in some ways. And you know, they kind of go all in for this next ship that costs $1,000 or something, which is then seemingly funding you know, concept art and designs for the next ship, which they then buy again, which then...
Peter, just say it. They're acting like they're a freaking cult.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah. Let's just say it.
Let's just say it. There's no point in beating around the bush or sugarcoating it. I'm going to say it. They're acting like a freaking cult, and it's not healthy.
No.
And the problem is when you have a lot of people who are so loud and so forceful and so commanding... The problem is all the other people who could rise up and say, hang on a minute, they get scared. Nobody wants to get attacked, right? They get scared. They get pushed down. They just have a sit and wait attitude. And all the alpha males and females rise to the top and control the narrative. It happens in every, and that's how a cult mind works. Not that they're a cult. I'm not calling them a cult. I'm saying they're acting like a cult, because that's pretty much what it, because nothing makes sense. When you tell somebody, why are you paying $2,500 for a virtual item
right.
you could never own?
Right.
They will have flames coming out of their nose trying to justify it.
What do you think their motivation for using this model for funding is? I mean, do you think it's almost like, well, look, hey, we can get away with it, so let's do it? Because people have invested now. You know, individuals, I think it was $92 or something.
Yep.
I don't know if you worked that out, Derek.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, per head, you were saying that people have invested large amounts of money, so they're kind of like all in, and there's kind of no way out.
Well, you see, that number is actually an average, not a median. So you have people who've spent up to $15,000, $20,000 on this game, if you can believe that. I have emails from six of them because, you know, we're compiling all this stuff to send off to the FTC. And I'm getting all those reports, and I'm asking for proof, I'm asking for receipts, I'm asking for screenshots. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff. There are people with $16,000 in this game. You know, I wouldn't have believed it until I saw it with my own eyes. So that $92 is when you average the 900 or more people, you know, who've pooled into this. But, I mean, let's put it this way. People buy special editions for $150, right? And they end up being shit, so they don't really care. So if you think everybody paid $92, that's okay. But the fact of the matter is, even those who only pledged $19 from the, you know, the first, you know, pledge back on Kickstarter, even those people have the same mindset that this is the second coming of the Holy Christ. It will succeed. It makes no sense at all.
I mean, let's talk a little bit then about the FTC, what you're doing with the Federal Trade Commission. You know, because they have a department that deals with crowdfunding cases, I believe now, and I think they've prosecuted one, like a board game developer who, it was pretty cut and dried. I think he just kind of took the money and didn't deliver the board game. So, you know, you say you've spoken to attorneys and you've been collecting information and things from people, so... Where are you hoping to take this? What's going to happen with this?
Well, for the record, I can't. I mean, there's no litigation going on, so it's not an issue of me saying, "Hey, I can't talk about that because of litigation." Blah blah blah.
Right.
So I can tell you right now that what's happening is this: a bunch of people got together. Were you guys part of the missive I wrote yesterday on my private Facebook?
I read that. Yeah, I think I passed it on to Peter as well.
Yeah.
So. As I mentioned in there, there's a group of people, a pretty large group of people, who energized. I mean, this has been brewing for a while, right? But when nobody knows what avenue to take, what to do, all you can do is sit and wait for someone else to do it, right? Mm-hmm. But and it's like this festering wound. Okay, so when my article hit, as I mentioned earlier, a bunch of people, it made people think, you know, and all of a sudden they figure, oh, hang on. I know why I can, you know, what I can do. I can sit here and be abused and, you know, insulted, attacked because I'm complaining about something I paid for that I don't have, right? Or I can try and get my money back. Well, they can't get their money back, for one, because if you've read, we were going through the whole terms of service with the attorneys yesterday. I mean, we've taken it apart. Okay, that's the first thing that's going to get destroyed. So I can tell you that right now, it's going to be completely obliterated. Okay, there's no way if this ever goes to court that Atios terms of service will survive, and you can quote me on that. It'll get completely destroyed. So with that TOS, people don't realize that, you know, there's a way. Well, they all figure, well, I've paid $2,500,000 or whatever the heck the amount is. This is not coming out. This is not what I pitched for. You know, I want my money back kind of thing. How do I do that? Nobody knows how to do it. All right. So you just sit and wait. It's like an investor. It's like being a VC investor where you put money in something. It keeps going and going and going. They haven't turned a profit. You've got no choice but to sit down because nobody else wants to buy your shares. You're stuck with them, right? So now they saw my article. I showed them, you know, the links and whatnot. Next thing I know, I'm getting all these emails. I mean, I have a special folder. I just filter them out now, okay? And then I get, you know, emails and a call from a bunch of people. So I said, look, here's the thing. It doesn't make any sense for you guys to just run off and do all this because it's going to do two things, okay? Mm-hmm. One, it's going to distract them from making the game, which in itself, I realize that. But when you think about it, with this kind of money and this organization structure, they should have somebody who gets to babysit all that. It's the price of doing business, okay? If you get sued, if you get a customer service problem, if you get a QA problem, you have different divisions and different people to do, you know, to deal with them, right? So it's not like all of a sudden they're going to have to put all the developers on hold while they deal with, you know, some legal issue. It doesn't work that way. But I realize that it will cause, you know, them to have to, you know, whatever, if Chris and his crew are sitting there trying to figure out how to sell the next virtual ship, they're going to spend that time fielding questions from the FTC or the IRS. That's fine. I don't really care. What I care about is that it's a double-edged sword. If all of a sudden a whole bunch of people flood the FTC, okay, and they start the investigation and it opens a whole can of worms, and I guarantee you there will be a whole can of worms if it goes that far. It's going to cause a cascading effect, okay? And if that goes south, the game is dead. And that's going to be on who started this? Me. So I've been cautioning them. I've been trying to temper them, saying, hey, listen, here's the thing. I know Chris. I know a bunch of people. We share common friends. Why don't you let me, since you guys came to me because you saw my article and they made you ask questions, it made you think and you have a voice, blah, 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 let me reach out to them, right? And see how best to resolve, because at the end of the day, people just want answers. You know, it's like your dad. If he tells you go to school and you say no, right, and he says go mow the lawn, hey, you're negotiating.
Right, just for the record as well, Derek, I do believe you've tried to contact Chris directly, correct?
Yes, I have. As you know, I mentioned that in my missive. I contacted him directly. I contacted his partner. I contacted his PR guy. So really, they really have no excuse. Nobody's gotten back to us. But by the same token, I've told these people there's no need to get attorneys involved. There's no need to file a class action lawsuit. They've said they're going to go ahead with it anyway, which is why, you know, they're taking apart the terms of service. They want me to, you know, to talk about the technical expertise, blah, 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 because they're going to go after everything. So I said to them, look, tell you what, we all have a bunch of friends in common. You know, if you guys, you know, are saying you want answers, I can get them. If you want your money back, that might work too, which is why I wrote that missive, which you guys were party to, right? And you saw I was pretty reasonable in there, I thought. I gave an entire history, and because I know, this, put it this way, ego lets people do stupid things, okay? And even though most of the people on the internet don't realize how much stuff I'm doing in the background to prevent this from becoming a disaster, because I'm not saying anything. I'm saying it to you guys who are part of, you know, a closed loop circle, right? You know, that's why I brought up that list, because that list comprises of every single thing they've explained to me that they want to see happen, you know, coupled with the things that I think will work. Things like, why can't I get a refund? You know, if I put this money in and I want it out because they can't deliver, there's no way for me to do that. So yeah, put up a website that says, hey, you want a refund? Click here, okay? Why can't I know when I'm gonna get this product I paid for? Hey, you know what? If you go online right now and go to their website, there is so much information that even people who know about this game don't have a freaking clue what it's about. Mm. That's just the truth. The attorney said to me, we're all gamers, we have a hard time understanding it because it is so convoluted. People don't know what they have, what they don't have, when they will have it, or what form it will take. That's not good when you've taken $85 million.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about the sort of transparency aspect. You know, they're very sort of gung-ho about how the whole development process is all transparent, and that kind of speaks to the fact that there's shed loads of information on their site. But then when it comes to things like you trying to contact Chris Roberts, or, for example, the other day, it seems that the executive producer, Alex Mabry, left. You know, they're not transparent about that at all. You have to do quite a bit of digging to find out when certain employees have left the company, which is quite a contrast to when he arrived and there was a whole press release and celebratory fanfare that this guy was on board, you know.
Yeah, the thing about that is I can't, you know, I don't want to, you know, touch too much on that, but all I can say is somebody posted something really stupid on Reddit. He was saying, well, you know, they're not going to announce the arrival and departure of every employee. I'm like, excuse me, I don't even know if this is a PG-11 show, but let me just say it.
Are you
fucking kidding me? I mean, do you know what an executive producer does? Let me tell you what he does. He's like the god of all things. The buck stops there. That's how it works. So when you talk about somebody like Alex, right? If Alex was hired for that specific role, Alex controls everything. But here's the thing with control. You're just as effective as the guy who hired you wants you to be. If Chris hires Alex or whoever to do a job, and Chris thinks it's a different direction, what he says goes. That's Alex's boss. That's how it works. So when you see an executive producer leaving and it's not on quote-unquote fan, I mean, nobody says do a fanfare, but for God's sake, you would think for an $85 million project with a top-notch, you know, guy who people would be breaking down his door to hire him leaves, you wouldn't be forced. You guys know it's a fact. My article forced them to acknowledge it publicly. Nobody else knew.
Yeah.
Because I did my homework. Apparently nobody knows how to use LinkedIn. You know? So when you see something like that happening, it's not just about being transparency. The thing is, listen, I'm an investor. I have quite a few businesses, I have quite a few investments, okay? And if you give in money to somebody, you want to know what they're doing with it. That's how VC works, that's how investment works. Hey, for Christ's sakes, if your dad gives you money and you tell him, hey, I want money for lunch, he wants to make sure you're not using it on drugs. That's how it works. So accountability for people who gave you $85 million on faith comes out to one simple thing. Hey guys, here's what we spent it on. Here's what we're doing. It's blah, blah, blah. It's not just about this flood of videos, you know. You know how much time it takes to make these videos? I mean, we compiled a list of all the videos, all the seminars, every single, and we're sitting there thinking, do these people who put this money in have any idea that $250,000 tops to make stuff like this could have gone into the game? Do you really think if somebody looked at a spreadsheet or a profit and loss statement and says, $250,000 for videos that have no purpose but to sell virtual items, how many people do you think are going to be happy about that? It's like me giving money to a charity and then the president goes on vacation with it. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying that's what he did. I'm not saying that's what he did. I'm giving an example of accountability. The accountability here is not technical expertise. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten the money. The accountability here is purely, hey, this is what we did with it. This is where your money went. It's crowd, and this is the reason why the FTC set up this division for crowdfunding, because they know, they've heard all the complaints that this is what happens. And that's the first hurdle they're going to have to cross when the FTC comes knocking. Where'd the money go? How did you spend it? That's going to be the first can of worms, and it's going to be very interesting to watch.
Can I ask you, Derek, have you spoken to people who have been working on Star Citizen? I mean, I know you kind of refer to sources in various things that you've written, but Have you talked to people who are working there, who have worked there, if you can say?
Yeah, I have spoken to a few of them. As I said, you know, there's no legal thing that's stopping me. Nobody's suing me. Nobody's threatening me. I mean, it'll be foolish to do that, but you know, I welcome it. I mean, so there's really nothing for me to hide. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to put my sources at risk, you know, and risk their, you know, whether their NDAs or their exit, you know, agreements, or whatever they've got going there. But I've been around for a very long time. I know most of these people in this industry. Mm. I mean, you've seen my Facebook and LinkedIn contacts. It's not that people you rub shoulders with. I mean, you don't get to go to barbecues with somebody or rub shoulders at a bar at E3 to quote unquote know them, right?
Right.
I have history. I have many, many years of history with lots and lots of people I've never been in the same room with.
So, I mean, I know you don't want to name sources or anything, which is fine, but as an overall consensus of the sort of atmosphere and what might be going on there, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
When somebody asks me that in public, I mean, I always point them to the Glassdoor.com reviews, and I say, you know, start there. I'm not going to talk about anything happening at somebody else's studio. It's not my place. I'm just not going to do that. I'm an engineer. And I'm a business owner. I wouldn't want someone doing it to me. That's my perspective. So, you know, all I can say is every business has people who like working there, people who don't like working there, people who just want to get a paycheck and because they have families, and people who have all the option to walk away. And when you have that kind of option, there comes a time when you exercise it. You know, the human nature is, even when you're working with somebody, it's a fight or flee type, you know, thing. If somebody finds something better, listen, when people leave company A to go work for company B for less benefits and less money, think about why that would happen. Mm. So I mean, I'm sure the people who are working there, you know, they're passionate. I mean, I never badmouth my industry friends. It's something I never do. It's poor form. I'm old school like that. I don't really care who says anything about me. If you're in industry, there's a line I will not cross. I will politely comment. You guys have seen me do it. I will politely comment, I'll politely disagree, but I never badmouth anybody. I simply will not do it because it's a very small industry, as big as it is, and you never know when you're going to run into these people. And these are the people who, whether they like you or not, become your longtime allies. And at this stage in my life right now, I have absolutely no interest in jeopardizing that. So all I can say is this: people who are there, engineers, they all are doing a fabulous job because everybody has a job to do. Nobody's going to go there to get a paycheck, twiddle their thumbs, put their foot up on the table, and watch cat videos and go home. No. These people are hardworking people. The bottom line is this: there are so many companies, so many teams with very hardworking people, and it all falls apart. Usually, nobody asks why. It's either the executives made a bad call, okay, or they planned poorly, and all of a sudden, overnight, 100 people are out of work. Forget about the 100 people who are working hard to build this whole thing. You know, look at, you know, 38 Studios and all the other companies that have fallen, seemingly surprised all of us, overnight. So it's really unfair to just think about whose fault it is, because it's not about fault, really. It's about accountability and about, you know, if people are there doing the job they were hired to do, I'm fully confident that's what they're doing. If people are being directed to do things a certain way, I'm confident that's what they're doing, because nobody wants to do or say something, you know, that's contrary to what you're hired for, because that's not conducive to, you know, to a long-term employment contract.
So what do you think is your ideal scenario for where this kind of goes from here? Because you've already talked about how, okay, you know, you don't necessarily want to mess up the project by bringing in the FTC and the IRS and what have you, but also you do want the accountability and the ability to request refunds and other such things. You know, are you hoping that both of those things, there can be some accountability, but the project can continue and sort of scale back, or where do you see it going? It's difficult to predict, I'm sure, but...
Well, it's really not about, it's more about going by the warning signs rather than it is about prediction. You know, my eight ball is a bit rusty, but at this point in time, all I can hope for is a scaled back game that they promised, even if it takes them another 2 years to do, that would be 4 years in, they would have delivered something. But unfortunately, if you spend 4 years and deliver less than what you promised, that in itself, as you both know, you guys have been around a long time, it's a disaster all by itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, I believe that, aside from the accountability thing, I believe that if they scale back, you know, come out clean, you know, I don't care about all this grandstanding that Chris does. I mean, he's very good at it. I start watching his stuff, I just fast forward to the next interesting part. Because when you look at all his videos, they all say the same damn thing, but they don't say anything.
Mm.
You know, what? Somebody needs to write him a statement, hold it up on a clipboard and say, read this, and don't deviate from that.
Do you think it's kind of dare I say it, and we joke about this a lot as well, the Peter Molyneux scenario? And you know, Peter Molyneux always promises the world and finds it very hard to deliver. And we saw what happened with him earlier in the year, where he basically took a massive step back because of what happened with Goddess. Do you think that's something that should maybe Chris Roberts should be thinking about doing?
You know, to be honest, I don't see Chris like that. I mean, I really honestly believe he believes he can make this game. But the problem is, it's not up to him. It's not up to him at all. It's up to the people he hired and the technology that's there. So I don't really, it's not, you know, it's unfair for me to make that sort of comparison, because to be honest, you know, he really, when you think about what Chris promised originally, and then he decided to, you know, branch off and build on it little by little, I firmly believe that he believes this can be done. And to be honest, I believe that what he originally envisioned can be done. Mm. And it would have been done. So it wouldn't have been a Peter situation, because when Peter starts something in a grand scale, it's like grand scale and way not, until the disaster happens, we're not touching it kind of thing, you know? I mean, I'm not, you know, saying this out of turn, I hope, but that's just a fact. But Chris really believes that at the end of the day, given enough time and money, he can pull this off. I believe that he can. That's the thing. But as I said in my piece, as pitched and spec'd now, it's going to take a lot more money. Well, let's start from the time. It's going to take a lot more time and a lot more money to get there.
In that case, then, do you not think Backer should just shut up and just sit and wait and hope that it does arrive?
No, you know why? Because that's what gets us into trouble as an industry. I believe that, and this has been very controversial over the past few weeks over the Steam thing, I believe that if somebody gives you money to do something and you haven't delivered and you have the capability to give them their money, I think the right thing to do is give them back their money. That's the ultimate sign of good faith. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it, you know, which is why in that, you know, in that missive I wrote that you guys were privy to, that's one of the things that I put on there. If you believe that all these 900,000 people who gave you $85 million really support this, let's say 90%, what's stopping you from saying, hey, by the way, guys, you want a refund? I get it. I screwed up. Click here. What's wrong with that?
Well,
the risk is that if you do that and you overcalculate, all of a sudden you're looking at $50 million in refunds. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So effectively, that would just put the project down the toilet. And ultimately, what would you do at that point? Would you go and try and find a publisher? Probably wouldn't touch it.
No.
So effectively, if they do open the floodgates and say, hey, have your refunds, and it started to snowball, that would ultimately mean the project would be dead. So therefore, they wouldn't do that.
That is correct. That's exactly why they wouldn't do that. The project will die. I can guarantee it. Because what they've done is they've backed themselves into a corner whereby even think of going down that route and you open that floodgate, now you're playing a game of poker. Mm. Poker is a very brutal game. You might think you have the best hand until somebody shows their hand. If they make that mistake out of ego or out of, let's put it this way, they're not going to do that. There's nobody on this planet who takes money and is happy to give it back unless you're Steam. It just doesn't happen. And the thing is, one thing people are forgetting, and I'm going to touch on this very, very, you know, quickly. One thing people are forgetting is that what you've done is you've bought into futures. You've bought into a future project. So it's money in the bank,
yeah.
Okay? And you've got nothing to show for it. It's not like you bought a car, right? Or, you know, a piece of machinery, and you can take it back and get a refund because you have tangible goods. There's no such thing. Which is why the terms of service is very, very disturbing. And people aren't looking at it, which is what is very surprising to me. I was on the phone with the attorney. He said to me, did these people not read this? I'm like, yeah, man, I didn't write it. You know, I pass, you know? And, you know, the thing is, if they did that and said, hey, we're going to give you a refund, the whole thing will collapse because there'll be no money. The thing is,
I was going to say, this whole crowdfunding thing is very trust-based, you know? Like, I backed Pillars of Eternity by Obsidian. They're a renowned RPG company. I trust them to put out a good RPG, and they did. But, you know, as soon as you start to lose that trust, as soon as you start to think, oh, maybe this company can't actually do what they're going to say, it starts to really
For me, Star Citizen really is an investment in Chris Roberts. It's nothing more than that. That's what people have the faith in.
That's correct. I agree with that statement.
You know, I'll admit that, you know, when I backed it, it actually wasn't because it was Chris Roberts. It was because I actually enjoyed Starlancer. And, I really enjoyed that. Not so much Freelancer, but Starlancer. I thought it was a great space shooter at the time. But obviously, then when he bought on Aaron Roberts into the fold as well after the crowdfunding had been done, well, that was a good sign for Squadron 42, and like I say, I'd be happy with that. But as it stands, most people have invested this into Chris Roberts and what his vision is. My like you say, I do believe he thinks he can make it, and the thing is he being delusional?
No, I really don't think so. He's a really smart guy. I don't believe he's delusional. I really believe he thinks he can do this. That's the thing. People don't seem to understand that. There's, you know, we're all visionaries. We're all, you know, engineers. We're all really smart people. And sometimes you can believe something, you can see something, you can feel like you can touch it and taste it. You know, it's just out of reach. And somebody on the outside looking in will never understand that. But if they share your vision, like I said, once you reach that point where you can sell ice to Eskimos, you've won. And that's basically it.
So can I ask you then, Derek, I mean, and this is how I feel about it. As far as the virtual ship sales and so on are concerned, I actually would like to see that stop. I think the resources need to be put into this game to get it done. We've got to stop wasting time, you know, thinking up these great concept ships and everything like that, and just get on with the job. I mean, is that how you feel about it?
Yeah, that's one of the things. That's one of the bullet points I mentioned in my proposal to them that you guys all saw. Mm-hmm. That even if they don't do the refunds, right? If they say, okay, we understand there's some confusion here. We understand blah blah blah. We've got your $85 million. Hey, what are we gonna do? We're gonna stop all funding. You're going to get this, that, and the other. We're going to be, you know, Chris is going to make it. He makes a statement saying, hey, by the way, you know, Derek Smart wrote some crap, and, you know, don't listen to that guy, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he does that, I'll sue him. So he probably, you know, he wouldn't do that because he knows better than that. But the point I'm making is, you know, if he just comes clean, not clean in the sense that he's been dishonest. As you guys saw, I've been very clear about that. I do not believe he's been dishonest. I don't believe there's any fraud going on. I don't believe there's a Ponzi scheme or pyramid. All these buzzwords people keep bouncing around. And you guys are aware of this. I repeated myself on this because it's very hard for things to get lost in translation, right? I don't believe there's anything like that going on. Whether it is or it isn't, to be honest, I don't care. That's up to the FTC and the IRS and all those people. That's not my thing. OK, Okay. What I believe they should do is, as I said, get PR, write something nice, tell Chris he doesn't get his dinner unless he repeats it verbatim and not deviate. You know, things like, you know, hey, I understand what's going on. I agree that, you know, the scope of the game has changed. I don't want to hear, you know, I agree the scope has changed, but I think if you're reading or watching my other thing, you know, you'd have noticed that I did say that. I don't have time for that bullshit. I want to hear, hey, listen, I asked for this. I was going to give it to you. But this time, I failed. Here's why I'm going to fix it. And I'm going to fix it by giving you what you want. And what I understand you want is you want accountability. You want a chance to get a refund. You want a chance to know when you're going to get what you paid for. And you want me to step on all this, selling all this crap. I guarantee you, here's what's going to happen. I know they're going to do something. I mean, I hear things. I know they're going to do something. And you know what's funny? When things start happening, assuming somebody doesn't pull out a gun and shoots them in, themselves in the head by suing me, which I can tell you right now will just kill everything. I mean, I can 100% guarantee it. Okay. Assume somebody doesn't do something foolish like that. I'll tell you right now, once they start seeing changes, nobody's going to know I had anything to do with it, because I don't care about taking credit. I just want the fucking game finished. You know, and the only way they're going to finish that is by winning back some good faith. We do it all the time. It's here in America, we call it eating crow. It's like going back and saying, I screwed up. I'm not making any excuses. It's like a whole I thing. You're like, hey, I suck. I lied. I overestimated. I don't care how it's worded. It has to be worded to show that you're genuinely being honest, understanding, and holding yourself accountable. And you can do that only if you feel that your terms of service is going to hold up. And I can tell you right now, it's not. So there's a very good chance he's not going to do that. Because if he does that, whoever wants to sue him, he just gave them an easy way to do it. So I don't believe they're going to do that.
The tack they took was very much not that. It was to deflect away from the from Alex's departure by saying, oh, hey, we opened our Frankfurt office, even though that had happened.
That made no sense.
Months ago, I think.
that made absolutely no sense. And again, that, you know, my article forced their hand, you know, to address it, because it wasn't until they started getting media calls and emails and whatnot, they had to address it. I mean, they couldn't exactly lie about it. So, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we've got a Frankfurt office. I mean, seriously? You know, and everything else that comes with it. The fact of the matter is, you know, closing what I was saying earlier, it's very, very simple. Chris traded on good faith. Mm-hmm. He traded on nostalgia. I think he's failed the gamers. He's failed the industry that trusted him to, you know, be, you know, a bright light in a time that, and you know, these are really dark times. You guys know that for us. I mean, we, you know, a lot of things happening in gaming right now. Okay. And I'm really upset that without realizing that this whole industry is not really about him, it's about gamers and a collection of people who held this down while he was off playing whatever the hell he was doing in Hollywood. We were still here. We were dealing with all this bullshit. And now, if this fails and he leaves, guess who gets stuck with all this? Because we're not going anywhere. We're stuck with all this.
Why do you think the majority of the media are ignoring this issue? I mean, this has been quite a big story for 3 days. And really, while we've been covering it, there's not a lot about it apart from Alex leaving. And that kind of surprises me. So why do you think that's happening?
I mentioned this in my missive, and when that thing goes online next week, you know, as you guys know, you've read it, legal, they're going to, you know, go through it a little bit, you know, polish it up a bit, take out the chest thumping bullshit, as they call it. And when it goes online, all hell's going to break loose. But here's the thing. And I said it in my missive, this whole thing has been one huge circle jerk boys club. That's really what it boils down to. Okay. If this was me or somebody else or Peter, or it just, you know, take some post-its, put some names in it, stick it in a hat, pick one out. If it happened to any one of those people, this whole thing would have exploded by now, but it's been 2 years. They're silent because it's just, it's these people, they all go way back with Chris, okay? It's literally an ingrained type thing where everybody knows everybody knows everybody, and nobody wants to let, quote unquote, Derek Smart bring down their, you know, bright young, whatever you want to, whatever effigy you want to attribute to him to. That's what it is. It's all because it's me. And you know what? I like that. It just means I get to sue everybody.
That would be something to see.
That's what it boils down to. It's just a matter of it. Because it's me, it's coming from me. They don't want to make too much noise. But I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I mentioned this in my piece. A bunch of the other, you know, some of the mainstream media that I've emailed them, I've spoken with them. They say, yes, we're investigating. You know, it's just like you calling the cops and telling them your neighbor's peeing on your lawn. Yeah, we're investigating. It may go somewhere. It may not. But everybody's sitting down and watching to see what happens. Okay, the fact of the matter is, it's because it's me primarily, and because they don't want to upset the apple cart, and nobody wants to be the one to use something that I've written or that I've said that I've stirred up trouble, okay, to bring this whole thing burning to the ground. Well, and in fact, the matter is, I don't even have that power, which is what astonishes me.
The thing is, Derek, if you go and look at the official forums, for example, it's absolutely littered with a lot of people upset. And this is why I don't understand why it's been ignored. And, you know, I get what you're saying by you writing about it. It has brought it to the attention. But actually, that stuff's been there for months.
Yeah.
And I don't really get why it's been ignored.
That's really what it is. It's a lot of these people go way back with Chris. It's a whole usual industry politics, and you know they already hate me. So really, I mean, might as well just go for broke. It's all about accountability. You know, nobody wants to do anything. Nobody wants to say anything. Nobody wants to upset the apple cart. You know, they get all this. I'm not accusing anybody of doing anything wrong. I'm just saying when you think about it, it's a cohesive type of relationship where, you know, let's put it this way. Ask yourself this. Why was it so easy for all of them to gang up on Peter, you know, or what's the other fellow's name? Dragon's Age, help me out here. Tim, you know, why is it easy that, you know, when something happens, there's a million different articles? It's like clockwork. But for as long as this has been going on, nobody has said anything. And even now, when I took upon myself at great risk, you know, to attacks, you know, that's always fun, you know, and threats and all these things, and people are talking about it, all of a sudden, you know, they're quote unquote, you know, we're thinking about it. I mean, it's just the media. It's just through and through. I mean, again, it may be true. They may be investigating. It may not be true. But let's face it. Until my article hit and put a whole bunch of things in there that would make people think, when you go to the website and look at all the things that's going on, nobody really has a fucking clue what's going on with the game anyway. So I can't really blame them. I mean, think about it. But yeah, the fact of the matter, again, this 8 months late, it's not a big deal, right?
I have a more mundane explanation for why there isn't much coverage, which is that, yeah, it is very... With all of these games and in the games industry, it's incredibly hard to do investigative reporting because it's incredibly difficult to get anything out of companies because they can get away with basically not telling you things until it builds up enough kind of steam and enough pressure for the point that they actually have to reply. So rather than the media being close to Chris Roberts, which I don't personally subscribe to, I would say it's probably more that it's just they've tried to get some answers, they've tried to get some information out, they've been blanked, they've been silenced, and then they've just kind of given up.
But Peter, let me ask you something. When did that ever stop them before? It never stopped them before. I mean, the media is littered with conjecture-laden bullshit. I mean, it's never stopped them from writing. But the bottom line is, I think people, I mean, even with liability insurance, right? I mean, you can. This is the media. Nobody's going to sue the media. I mean, it's like, people, it's just in this past few years, people are really dumb enough to do it. But the fact of the matter is, nothing's stopping them from, you know, looking at the facts. And the facts are very clear. They've got $85 million. They haven't delivered a game. It's 8 months late. It doesn't look like it's getting done. What do you need? You need someone to be, do you need to invite Vox Media or Polygon or Verge or somebody and say, hey, look at our books or look at it? I mean, no, none of that's going to happen because that just will, it will just open a huge can of worms. So, which is why I subscribe to the fact that use what is already out there. Build something around it. Once the momentum builds up, they're forced to address it. Similar, I mean, simple thing, Alex Mayberry. Mm-hmm. My article made them address it, didn't it? So there's a whole bunch of things. And if are they going to wait until the FTC or the IRS or whoever the hell is involved, are they going to wait till that comes to a head before they do a press release? You remember, most of the stuff the press writes comes from internal leaks. It's not like they don't know. You know, it's not like they're going to wait for somebody to write a press release saying, oh, by the way, we screwed up. That's not how it works. Okay?
I mean, let's be honest, there have been certain articles already published, you know, like Wired, for example, wrote a pretty lengthy piece along these lines. So it hasn't been completely ignored.
Yeah. It's just that, you know, the thing about it is, as I mentioned in my piece, you know, and I mean, listen, as I told my friends before I posted it, I said, you know what, this is Breeze for Impact time. But the thing is, I'm used to it. There's really nothing, absolutely nothing that anybody could say or do to me that hasn't been done or said before that's going to faze me one bit. So when I started this, I know that I was going to open up myself to attacks. I was going to open up myself to all kinds of things because that's how people operate. They're going to try and make it about me, which is why if you notice some of the comments, some of my friends, even in messages, they were concerned. They're saying, you know, this, regardless of whether or not they can come after you legally, blah, 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 which they can, blah, 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 you still put yourself at great risk because when they start coming after you, it's going to overshadow all the news about your games, it's going to be distracting. It's just you and your guys, blah, blah, blah. And it's true. It does get to be distracting. But the thing is, I took that risk because I believe what's going on is wrong. It's really that simple. It's just wrong. There's no other way to say it. It's wrong.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good place to end it. I don't know. If you have anything else, Paul, that you want to...
Oh, I have nothing else, really.
Well, I mean, I mean, it's interesting that a lot of things have happened all at the same time in a matter of, you know, a few days. Ultimately, you'd want the game to get made, but back to the original spec, so that's really your ultimate goal for driving, this forwards.
Yep.
And I guess you're encouraging people who are unhappy with the situation with the game to contact the FCC and get in touch.
Yep.
So, it to me, I'm trying to find it hard to get my head around if there's a win situation here for the game itself. Because ultimately, if it goes to the FTC, well, that could spell the end.
That cat's out of the bag. It's already gone to the FTC. There's no going back on that.
But it just kind of depends whether they decide to do anything about it or not.
No, they will. They will. I can 100% guarantee that. So that cat's out of the bag. There's really no discussions about that.
So go ahead. Can there be a positive outcome from this? I guess is what I...
Yes. You know why I think there's a positive outcome from this? Very simple. What they have right now, they can make the original game, the spec, they can make the game from it. Okay? I know that to be true. Because they've got the technology. They've shown they have the technology. The Crysis engine is quite capable of building a game based on that original spec. Okay? If they come clean and say, you know what, and this happens all the time, you know what, we screwed up. You know, if they can come back and say, hey, we messed up, we're going to go rewrite the entire network code, why can't they come back and say, hey, you know what, we're going to go back to the drawing board. We've got this, 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 and this. We're going to focus on doing the original game respect. Okay? We're not going to sell any more items. Okay? We've got enough money to do this the way it is. And then they deliver on that. That's a lot of good faith. even if some people come back and ask for refunds, right? Once you deliver on that restated goal, those people, nothing is stopping them from coming back. That's how good faith works. The alternative is everybody complains. And remember, let me just be clear. I'm not saying the FTC or the IRS is going to go in there and find anything. I'm not saying that because I don't know what's going on over there. Remember that. I'm just an engineer. Okay? I don't know what's going on over there. So it could be the FTC, the IRS, or whoever goes in there and says, okay, business as usual, carry on, right? And by the way, we would never know because it's not the kind of thing the FTC will only make it public when they say, hey, you know,
right.
You know, they're not going to come back and say, oh, yeah, clean bill of records. They're not the Better Business Bureau, you know, and it's not. But it's the kind of thing that, you know, RSI would make public saying, by the way, Derek Smart prompted people. Well, they probably wouldn't put my name in there. Like I said, they put my name in anything, they'll get sued. So I don't believe they'll do that. What I believe they'll do is they will say, well, you know, we know a lot of you complained to the FTC. The FTC was in here. We've got a clean bill of health. We want to assure you, blah, 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 bullshit, 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 bullshit. That's what will happen. So I'm not really saying that all these agencies are going to go in there looking for $85 million and find that Chris has a yacht in the backyard with that money.
But if but I guess...
You know, I'm not saying that.
But if that does happen and they come back, and as most people will suspect that it will come back with a clean bill of health, then is that not just basically... stalling the situation in the fact that basically we're still going to have to wait for the game and he's still going to be delivered at their what the, Chris's vision is.
Here's the thing about that. The thing about that is the FTC will force them. Let me tell you something. The FTC's rules and regulations trump that TOS. That's like I said, even if it gets to court, that's the first thing that's going to go. Once that goes, everyone's entitled to their money. That's how the system works. There's no going back on that, okay? So if the FTC goes in there and says everything is okay, I can 100% guarantee you one of the things they will want is for people to be able to get their money back, and that would depend on how much money they have on their books. That is the kind of thing that will happen. That's the whole point of this whole, you know, of, you know, trying to figure out where crowdfunded money is going. That's what the SEC does on the security side, you know what I mean? So even if the FTC goes in there and finds a clean bill of health, they're not just going to come out there and give some corporation a clean bill of health, knowing fully well there's a very good chance that somewhere at the FTC there's a piece of paper that gives them a clean bill of health, and then 2 years down the road, that company folds. Somebody gets fired. No one's going to take that risk. So if they go in there, they don't find anything, they will still have conditions under which RSI will have to do something to appease the gamers, whether it's a form of refunds, rewriting the TOS, or something. So something will come from it. Not necessarily bad, but because you remember the FTC is a consumer facing organization. They don't care about corporations. That's not what they're about. They're about compliance. They're about the consumer, and they're very good at what they do. So if they go in there, case one, they don't find anything, there will still be some recourse for gamers to get something out of that. If they find something, again, it's not doom and gloom. It could just be just what the IRS does. In this country, when the IRS audits you, it's not really like they're killing your business. It's like they're making sure you're on the up and up. It's very disturbing. It's stressful. It's expensive. It's time consuming. But most people who go through an IRS audit, I've been there, you know, they come out clean. What that does is it puts you on your P's and Q's. It means somebody's watching, and there's a very good chance they'll come back. So whether they find something or they don't find something, it's really a way of putting them a notice saying, hey, since you're not listening to the thousands and thousands and thousands of people bitching and moaning online, there's Big Brother now watching over you. You know what I mean? That's a huge deterrent to screw up. Okay? So win, lose, or draw, that's how it goes. And I don't believe that, you know, them. I mean, let's put it this way. If anybody thinks that the FTC going in there or the IRS or whoever, whatever, goes in there, all of a sudden it kills the project, ask yourself this. How strong was it then?
Well, quite. I mean, yeah, if that kind of investigation reveals things that undermine the project, then it wasn't a project that should have been going ahead. So
there you go.
Yeah, so you're saying that at a minimum, now that the FTC are involved, at a minimum, the terms of service are going to change or are going to be altered.
Well, I don't know what they're going to do. I know that if this lawsuit that these people are planning, if they don't listen to me and they go ahead and do it, and it cascades, I already know that's the first thing they're going to attack, because they have certain rights. The people who first pledged on Kickstarter have more solid rights than those who came after, regardless of the fact that you had to create an account on RSI's website. All the people who gave $2.1 million on Kickstarter have different set of protections. Those who bought everything through RSI after the fact have a different set of protections.
Right.
So it'll depend on how, you know, the whole thing formulates, and it will depend on how, you know, they want to attack it. So it really doesn't matter, really. But I think I already think that the TOS is never going to stand up in court. So that's the first thing that's going to go. So even if they change it and make it more consumer friendly and make it more easy for people to get refunds, I think that's a win. But if the whole thing is going to collapse, okay, and before they start, you know, pointing the finger saying, oh, it's because, you know, Derek Smart started all this shit, so this is all collapsed, they should ask themselves, how strong was the foundation to begin with? Isn't this what people were complaining about, saying, hey, there's something wrong here? You know, people, you know, and the things, people are going to be in denial. The same way they're in denial right now, they're going to be in denial, you know, somewhere down the road. I just believe that there's a way for them to make it work. The question is, whether they're willing to go down that road is entirely up to them. And I believe people now getting the FTC involved, you know, getting the lawsuits involved, whether the lawsuits prevail or they get thrown out, is really irrelevant. It's all part of showing that this pie in the sky bullshit really has to stop. That's really all it does. Nobody really cares if anything prevails. That's how lawsuits work. Nobody cares if you win or lose, because most of them get settled anyway. What they want to do is give me back what I gave you, or else. That's how these things work.
Mm.
So I'm hoping they don't follow through with it, but I mean, I don't have any control over them. They said they're going to, you know, they're going to, you know, file a lawsuit, ask for class action status. They're going to do the change.org petition. I'm telling them, you know what? It's a double-edged sword. Same thing you guys and some of those in my feed have said, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Do we want to do this? You know, do we want to go down this road? Everyone's going to lose their money, blah, blah, blah. But hey, it just can't continue this way. There's really no way forward unless something changes. And I'm not responsible for that, because I'm not suing anybody. I only pledged $250. I don't really care. You know, I care about what the damage that's going to be done. This is not about, I told you guys already, I have a lot of selfish reasons why I don't want this to fail, you know, and they have nothing to do with my $250. I just don't want this genre and this industry to go through another black eye, because I've worked a half a lifetime, you guys know, in this very same genre. I haven't switched, and I would hate to see get a black eye of this magnitude. That's really what I fear for.
I mean, video game related class action lawsuits don't have a great history of success either. I would say 100%.
Yep, they do not. But here's the thing: they were never crowdfunded.
True. I mean, I'm thinking about the Aliens Colonial Marines one, which of course was just a regular retail and digital release.
That was internal, and we already knew. If you look at my feed, you see we already knew they're going to settle it anyway. But that's a whole different ball game, because this is not just three parties getting together over beers and say, okay, fine, I'll punch you one, you punch me one, and I got a black eye, I'll give you a torn lip, where do we sign? That's not this kind of thing, you know? That's not what we hear. We have a lot of people, we have 900,000 people trying to figure out what happened. Well, okay, let's say we have a good portion of 900,000 people trying to figure out where $85 million went and why they don't have a game for $2 million that they were promised. That's what it's going to come down to. It's all going to boil down on two things: the Kickstarter and the virtual goods. Those are going to be the two defining factors.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on the show, Derek. giving us an interesting perspective on Star Citizen and where that may all be going. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to watch over the next few days and few weeks. thank you very much for listening, people. We'll be back again next week with another PC Invasion podcast. Goodbye.
Bye, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
And silent under the dawn of that last great day.
It's bloody Skype. They've
they've just ruined it, haven't they?
I blame Microsoft for this. It was fine until they bought it, and then all of a sudden.
I agree.